The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
You're very welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cudahy with you until 7 o'clock. Now, it is that time on a Wednesday when John Kelleher is here to bring us another edition of The Last Post, where he will tell us about the life of someone who has recently passed away, someone you have probably never heard of and somebody you probably should have heard of. John, great to talk to you as always. Who was Dick Hoyt?
Gosh, Kieran, this is really a very, very inspiring story. Dick Hoyt, who died last month at the age of 80, he is legendary for his sporting achievements in the together with his severely disabled son, Rick. I mean, they're the stuff of legend, because over more than 40 years, they competed and competed in over 1,000 road races, where Dick was pushing Rick in a wheelchair. They're best known for the Boston Marathon, because they did 32 of those.
Wow.
And they also did scores of triathlons, including 2 Ironman World Championships in Hawaii. Absolutely incredible.
Oh, amazing stuff. Amazing. Tell me about Dick's early life.
Well, Dick was born in Winchester, in the greater Boston area, in 1940. He was the fifth of 10 children. His dad was a car salesman. His mother was a homemaker. And he was the captain. He was quite athletic. He was the captain of the school football team. And then some years after school, when he was 21, he married Judy, his childhood sweetheart, who had been the head cheerleader. He served for a long time, 37 years, in the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard. When he retired, he was a lieutenant or a lieutenant,
okay,
a colonel.
All right, okay, a lieutenant, yeah, as they say. You mentioned his son, Rick. Tell me about him.
Well, yeah, Rick was born in 1962, just a year after they were married. And as a result of oxygen deprivation to his brain at the time of his birth, he was diagnosed quadriplegic with cerebral palsy. And he was unable to control his limbs, and he couldn't speak. So Dick and Judy took him to a specialist, and the specialist told them, I even hate to say this, but this is what he told them. He said that Rick was destined to become a, quote, vegetable. And years later, they told the Boston Globe that the specialist had advised them to forget Rick, to put him away, put him in an institution and have other children.
God.
But they absolutely refused to do that. They persisted. They believed and they sensed that Rick had an acute intelligence that they knew was real. They could see his eyes following them around the room and taking in things. So they determined to give him the best possible and inclusive upbringing that they could.
How,
like,
did they
for
do
example,
it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. When Dick would take Rick fishing when he was a little kid, he'd tie a fishing line around Rick's finger so that when the fish bit,
yeah,
Rick could feel the tug and experience the thrill of the catch.
Aha, so, very good.
Yeah.
That's a nice story. It's lovely to hear how they persisted and they worked really hard and got the best for him. Like, in terms of Rick and his progression, I mean, did he ever manage to, you know, he obviously had these severe disabilities. Did he walk? Did he communicate eventually? Were there any breakthroughs on that front?
He was never able to walk, but there was a huge breakthrough when he was about 10 years old. In 1972, computer engineers at Tufts University, they built a computer that enabled Rick to communicate by tapping alphabet letters with his head. Incidentally, his first words were on the computer, "Go Bruins." You know, I think many of your listeners will know who the Bruins are.
Yeah,
you know,
the NHL team, the Boston Bruins. Yeah,
exactly. And Dick said that they'd no idea, but he had been following sport all along.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible that they didn't know and he had been following it. That the first words he chose to speak in his life, "Go Bruins," incredible. Right, so he had this love of sport, obviously, despite his inability himself to get physically active. How did they change that? How did this racing partnership begin?
Yeah, it's very interesting. He was about 15. Rick was about 15 at the time at high school. And by the way, he went on after high school to get a bachelor's degree. Rick did, in special education from Boston University. But when he was 15, over 40 years ago, he asked his father to help him to take part in a 5-mile run that was being organized in aid of a high school classmate who'd been paralyzed in an accident. Now, Dick, his dad, was getting on for 40 and he wasn't nearly as fit as he used to be. But nevertheless, he pushed Rick the entire 5 miles in Rick's wheelchair. They finished, by the way, next to last. But that night, Rick told his dad, he said, "Dad, when I'm running, I feel like I'm not handicapped." His younger brother, commenting on that, said later, he said, "That was it. It just took off from there." So that was the beginning.
Okay, so that was the beginning. Tell me about the journey then, about the number of marathons they competed in.
Oh, some journey, Kieran. Like over the next 40 years, the pair of them competed in over 1,000 races around the world, including 72 marathons. And many of those finished in remarkably competitive times because they were both very competitive. Like, for example, their fastest ever was in 1992 when Dick would have been 52. And it was the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, D.C. And they completed it in 2 hours, 40 minutes and 47 seconds.
Wow, that is fast.
It's fast. Dick came first, by the way, in his age group, which was the 50 to 59 age bracket.
And you mentioned triathlons as well. The marathons weren't enough.
Yeah, believe it or not, they also contested triathlons. Including 6 Ironman triathlons, 2 of them at the World Championships in Hawaii. And I mean, you know, the Ironman triathlon, like it's a swim, a bike ride and a run. You swim for just under 4 kilometers. You ride a bike for 180 K and you run 42 kilometers, i.e. a marathon.
That's amazing that they finished 6 of them, 6 of those Ironman.
Yeah. Incredible. Dick would pull Rick in a dinghy, you know, in a boat for the swimming legs, and they would ride a tandem cycle for the bicycling segment.
Okay. So they got through, as you said, 6 of them and all these marathons, mostly the Boston Marathon. That's where they appeared more than anywhere else.
There was a very special affinity for Boston. They did it 32 times between 1980 and 2014. They had to do it unofficially at first because the officials couldn't make up their minds how to classify them. Was it to be classified as a runner or as a wheelchair competitor? But later on, there was no such difficulty. They were celebrities. Of course, they weren't able to finish in 2013 because of the deadly bombings at the finish line. And they had actually planned that 2013 would be their final Boston Marathon. So they had to return, and they did in 2014. And that was really special.
Yeah, we actually have a clip of him talking about running the Boston Marathon the year after the attack at the finish line. Take a listen.
Well, no, it wasn't tougher. We made it a little tougher because all our fans out there were out there to support us. And it was just unbelievable, the crowds and the noise that they made. Somebody said they might have 1 million. I thought they had 2 million people. That's how good the crowds were. You know, and we were able to stop with some children in wheelchairs along the side and some elderly people, you know, and we went over and talked to them and hugged them and kissed them. So it took us a little longer than we wanted, but we're here.
You know, you said last year was going to be your last race, but you had to do this one, didn't you?
Yes, we definitely had. We knew right away after last year because of the bombings that we would come back and run in honor of people who got killed and injured.
All right, that was him, speaking after finishing the marathon in 2014. Is that there's a statue of them as well, I understand?
Yeah, there's a statue. They were honored with a bronze statue near the starting line. And the plaque message is, "Yes, you can."
Ah, that's nice. A nice message.
Dick was appointed, by the way, Dick was appointed Grand Master of the 2015 Boston Marathon.
Well, only fitting. They obviously had a really close bond, did they?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. Rick told the New York Times in 2009. He said, when my dad and I are out there on a run, a special bond forms between us, and it feels like there's nothing dad and I cannot do. And then conversely, Dick was talking to the Los Angeles Times, and he said, when I start pushing Ricky, I get this feeling. I go all out. I get up for more. I get up more for Rick. I want to pass people. I want to beat them. When I get behind that chair, it helps me.
Ah, yeah. Listen, it's just such a lovely story. So it is, Dick and Rick competing together. What about later life after all these marathons?
Well, he had achieved, because of all the fame, Dick had a career as an inspirational speaker. He traveled all around the world, gave more than 100 speeches in a year. And he only, by the way, ever completed one marathon without Rick. And he told a journalist, I just don't have the desire to do it without him. I'd rather be out there doing it with him. And then 10 years ago, he wrote his memoir, which was called Devoted, The Story of a Father's Love for His Son.
Okay, so he wrote this book then, a motivational speaker. I mean, they must have changed a lot of minds. You mentioned in Boston, when they tried to initially enter, the organisers didn't know what category to put them in. I mean, there must have been a drive a change in perceptions around people with disabilities, did they?
Absolutely, Kieran, they absolutely did. I mean, they were known as Team Hoyt, and they helped to drive a really profound shift in the approach to the treatment of people with disabilities. And the impact of what they did, you know, kind of traveled very far, you know, beyond Massachusetts. Rick was once asked if he could give his dad one thing, what would it be? And Rick said, the one thing I'd most like is for my dad to sit in the chair and I would push him for once.
That's a nice thing to say. Listen, like I said, it's just a lovely story, John. The passing recently of Dick Hoyt, an incredible man with an incredible son and an incredible story. And thank you for bringing it to us, as always. John Kelleher there with the latest edition of The Last Post.